Well met, and welcome to episode 64 of the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 2nd, 2011. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings, and Happy New Year. This is Bill Walthall, and this week we conclude our slightly over 1 month long discussion of the first part of Henry IV with some overall final thoughts, a production concept, and a possible cast for the play. Then we'll finish up with our usual recap of this week's and last week's blog entries. So, some final thoughts. I like this play. A lot. I rank it just below Richard III as my favorite history, and in the top five of all the canon thus far, in my humble opinion. I still rate Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer, Titus, and of course Dickie III ahead of the first part of Henry I. So why? Well, I like Hal. I really like Falstaff. Absolutely love Hotspur, and am always intrigued by the king himself. I find the play's structure, save for a couple of things which I'll touch upon later, a marvel. Our titular king beginning, middle, and end. Falstaff where and when the king isn't. Our foils, Hal and Hotspur, throughout. It shows a halting maturation of Hotspur and the slow emergence and reformation of the man who will be King Henry V. Sure, there are issues, like that interminable, for me at least, Act 2, Scene 4 in the tavern. But it is just a great and solid piece because of the characters. I said earlier that I'm intrigued by Henry, so it should be no surprise then that I find Hal somewhat an enigma. He's every man, but he's an actor. He's a profligate, yet he's a hero to be. He's all those things, and I also think he's never sure of who he is. He's our main character, and that adds a layer of uncertainty to both the character and the play. On the other hand, we have Hotspur, Mr. Certainty. Rash, reckless, over the top, bordering on the ridiculous, but charmingly so. He's funny, sexy, and brave, so what a foil for our everyman, no man, Hal. The play has political intrigue, battle scenes, and bawdiness, comedy both broad and domestic, incredible foreshadowing of the history plays to come, scenes of love, it's got it all and it's right there on the page. So how do we go from the page to the stage? Well, if you've been listening over the course of these first 15 plays, you know that every month we usually discuss production concepts. But with the histories, it can be tough, as that historical setting and context is usually important. But with this play, I can see breaking free from that realistic constraint a bit. If last month's Richard II was brought somewhat into the modern day with our production concept, so that the political maneuverings became more corporate, I can see this play as even more contemporary. It makes me think that our Richard II setting should be in the 70s, with Richard's weakness stemming from a hippie live-and-let-live philosophy, and Bolingbroke being the rise of the bloodless corporation, pushing love back for the almighty dollar. So building on that, I can see Hal hanging with the punks. And yes, I'm stealing a bit from Bogdanov's War of the Roses cycle of plays, but here I'll do it a little less eclectically and more consistently. We move now into the late 70s, early 80s. Falstaff is a fat Malcolm McLaren character, a provocateur, a Svengali, running the three-ring circus that is Eastcheap. King Henry may have usurped the hippies, but he still has with him some of their liberal sensibilities. Falstaff's punks take it one step further, liberalism bordering on anarchy, and Hal, in the natural rebellion of son against father, is more than willing to go along for the ride, even though he knows it's just a ride, and one that he'll get off soon enough. There is a rebellion in Henry's mind, Hal, and Henry, in the short term, is willing to employ thuggish skinheads to keep his idea of peace. I see the main conflict between Henry and the Percys being one of who gets the lion's share in this new world order. Henry can see everyone being a part of this new society, maybe out of guilt of usurping the utopian vision of Richard, but the Percys want power within their world for their kind, until Henry can't abide by this iron rule. This new thuggish rebellion is the flip side of the punks, and here think anarchist punks versus racist skinheads. This means whoever you choose as Hotspur had better be pretty freaking charismatic. Hell, you could even turn Glendower into a neo-Nazi demagogue. So into this world of black leather boots and spikes, I would want music, and lots of it. Big, blaring explosions of music. The Sex Pistols. Merge with the Clash. Everybody's looking for Lost Gang in town. You better watch out for them. They are coming around. This punk is the soundtrack for Eastcheap, while the Raging Screwdriver is the background music for the Rebellious Percys.
Wipe out! 1, 2, 3, 4! I stand and watch my country going down the drain. We are all at fault now. We are all to blame. We're letting them take over. We just let them come. Once we had an empire, and now we've got a slump.
Wipe out
for England.
Wipe out
today.
Wipe out
for Britain. For it gets too late.
And who would populate this world? First, I'd want a Hal who is good-looking, but still an everyman. Not a model. Not a true punk. Someone who would have to work to fit in at Eastcheap, but who could clean up quickly and well when he returns to the palace. He needs to be funny, but just serious enough to hint at the greatness that is to come. And for this, I see John Krasinski of The Office, and it's complicated. He is an everyman, and also a no-man for me. Now, Hotspur, since he's a skinhead rebel bordering on racist, maybe, well, he's going to have to be charismatic. And good-looking wouldn't hurt, but comic too, and let's throw in dashing, sexy, and macho to boot. So who fits the bill? Taylor Kitsch. Riggins from Friday Night Lights and Gambit in X-Men Origins Wolverine. He more than fits that bill. Now, as my older, weak, yet far too full of himself King Henry, I see Geoffrey Jones. Over 20 years ago, he was Principal Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Talk about your corporate figurehead. But in more recent years, he's played the publisher of the local newspaper in the killer HBO series Deadwood. Full of himself, but with no reason to be. He's the shell of the man I think Henry sees himself as. As my wild, drunk Falstaff, we need that same over-full of self, but this time comic, big and outsized. Alec Baldwin would be perfect. In fact, the more I think of him and his character in 30 Rock, isn't Jack Donaghy really just Falstaff to Tina Fey's Liz Lemony Hal? As the bizarre Welsh warrior poet Glendower, I want Brad Dourif. If you don't recognize the name, you would the face. He's a character actor with 30-plus years of bizarre roles, most recently as Wormtongue in the Lord of the Rings films and Doc Cochran in Deadwood. He's weird, off, but strangely compelling. Now, there's only one other role I'd like to cast, and that's Lady P, Kate, wife to Hotspur. She's a badass in her own right, one who can stand toe-to-toe with Hotspur, one who can calm him, but still stoke his sexual fire. I'd want her young, sexy, athletic, and comic. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead fits the bill. as the comic muse in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, a gritty actress in Death Proof, and the comically hot villainess in Sky High, she's capable of knocking any role out of the park. And the fact that she's almost as tall as Kitsch would make those physical scenes between the two all the more comic. It's not a bad cast and a fairly strong production concept. It would be fun, if nothing else. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast but haven't been following along with our daily blog entries this past week or so, you've missed out on subjects including love and marriage, foreshadowing, wondered at, Prince Hal every man or just an actor, our monthly visit to Bodyville, faux shizzle, or is that for pizzle, the first part of Henry IV midpoint, and first part of Henry IV numbers overall. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com or become a fan of our Facebook page. Remember that the Facebook page is more for Shakespeare news and notes than daily discussions of our play of the month. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. And of course, please join us again for our next podcast. We hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 2nd, 2011. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.